Hare Krishna. We welcome all the guests who have come for the daily evening Gita class. Today we are reading from chapter 6, text number 5 and text number 6. So today we'll recite the text number 5. Uddhared Atmanatmanam. Uddharedatmanatmanam. Uddharedatmanatmanam. Natmanam avasadaye. Natmanam avasadaye. Atmaivahi atmano bandhur. Atmaivahi atmano bandhur. Atmaiva ripu atmanaha. Atmaiva ripuratmanaha. Uddharedatmanatmanam. Natmanam avasadaye. Atmaivahi atmano bandhur. Atmaiva ripuratmanaha. Uddharedatmanatmanam. Natmanam avasadaye. And not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. The word Atma denotes body, mind and soul, depending upon different circumstances. In the yoga system, the mind and the conditioned soul are especially important. Since the mind is the central point of yoga practice, Atma refers here to the mind. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the mind and to draw it away from the attachment to sense objects. It is stressed herein that the mind must be so trained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire of nescience. In the material existence, one is subjected to the influence of mind and senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego, which desires to lord it over the material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of the material nature. And in this way, the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to sense objects. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. The word he is used for emphasizing this point, that one must do this. It is also said, Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayah. Bandhaya vishaya sango mukte nirvishayam manaha. For man, mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage and mind detached from the sense objects is the cause of liberation. This is from Amrit Bindu Upanishad, part 2. Therefore, the mind which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness is the cause of the supreme liberation. We have to also cover the text number 6. The text number 6, the Sanskrit goes as Bandhur Atmanas Dasya Yenatmai Vatmana Jitaha Anatmanas Tu Shatrutve Varte Tatmai Vashatruvat. For him who has conquered the mind. The mind is the best of the friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. The purpose of practicing eightfold yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and his mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the Supreme. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Vishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Hare Krishna. So I'll just repeat the translation of both the texts. Text number 5 and text number 6. Text 5 says, one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. And text number 6 says, for him who has conquered the mind is best of the friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Once, a man was lying in a forest, sitting below a tree. He was resting, and there were two holes besides him, one at his right hand and one at his left hand. As he was sleeping, he started moving his right hand, and from the right hole came out a snake, and that snake bit him. As soon as it bit him, the snake went back to the hole. Suddenly the man got up, perplexed what has happened. But by the time, from the left hole came out a mouse. And looking at the mouse, he said, "My God, how dare you bit me, you know?" And he started shouting at the mouse. And started throwing a stone at the mouse. But again, tired, he slept again. Now the mouse was angry that, you know, without doing anything, this person has tried to hit me. So to get back to him, what he did, this time he came out from the left hole and bit him. And when the man woke up, the mouse had again gone, and there came the snake. And looking at the snake, just at the very sight of the snake, the man had a fit of, you know, his, what do you call it, he went into a, you know, what, behosh jana, he went, unconscious state, suddenly. So now, what is exactly the cause of his, you know, unconscious state? The venom of the snake or the bite of the rat? What do we know? The snake, definitely. But why was he resting till the time till the snake bit him? Because he didn't recognize the snake had bit him. So his immunity in the mind was solaced that nothing has happened, nothing much has happened. But as soon as he saw that snake has bit him, his mind took over and suddenly he fell unconscious. So that is the power of the mind. Srila Prabhupada, this, or Lord Krishna, has now started a series of giving importance of, you know, he's just as in the fifth chapter, he has been telling the mood of what the yogi does. Now he's entailing, as the Ashtanga Yoga process will start, what a yogi is supposed to do, practically what he's supposed to do. So the first thing Srila Prabhupada is giving us in detail is how one should control his mind and train his mind. Generally, everywhere outside, or the general practice of yoga, when people do some yoga in their daily life, there is not much relevance given to mind control. So at outside only, Krishna has said that if you want to practice yoga, yoga in its actuality means his connection to the Lord. If somebody wants to establish that connection, the control of his mind and his senses is inevitable. So at outset, Krishna has clarified that you have to control your mind. Without controlling your mind, you cannot achieve anything. Now the question arises that we always thought, I was my mind. Isn't it? Whatever I think. Now, after hearing the instruction from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we feel that, is my mind and I very separate? So, Bhagavad Gita also gives us in detail that how our body is made. This body, the tangible body, or the body that is seen, is made up of 8 elements, or is made up of 5 gross elements, which are earth, water, air, fire, and ether. And within that, just as you put a coat, you know, normally you have this 3-piece suit, you have a coat inside and you have a shirt inside. So similarly, this body which we have of gross elements is made up of earth, water, air, fire, and ether, the outer coat. And the inside, the shirt, is mind, intelligence, and false ego. And inside is the real person, the soul. So here, mind is the part of our subtle existence. The subtle body of a living entity, mind is the lowermost rung. So, mind, controlling mind, Srila Prabhupada gives us hint that how one should steadily control his mind. Many times, people think that mind control is very easy. Once a student asks, what is the big deal in mind control? Why are you making so much hue and cry about mind control? I don't believe that, you know, there is a mind and which has to be controlled. You have to live your life, just live according to your decisions. So I just told him one simple formula. He said, okay, if you have an examination, you have examination after 4 days, just sit for studying. And all your illusions will be, you know, dismantled. Because once you sit for study, every student goes from this typical problem of mind running here and there like a monkey. From if you're studying a particular paragraph, your mind runs to something else, and something else. So there is a need where we have to control our mind and focus it. The number one problem of today's world is mental sickness. Billions and millions of dollars are spent by the Western countries, or rather India also, in controlling mental sicknesses, anxiety, stress. So let us see how exactly does the mind put a normal living entity who's always smiling, who always wants to do so many things in his life, into, as in the purport we heard, Prabhupada is saying, in the mire of nescience. Nescience means utter ignorance. It's like a dark room where you have no hope. And a mire means in net. You are in the net, and that also in dark. So how will you come out? That is the problem, or that is the extent which a mind can take to. The yoga system which Lord Krishna is going to begin now to describe the yoga system, Srila Prabhupada tells us in the purport that the purpose of this yoga system is to control mind and mind, make the mind our friend. Mind in material contact, Prabhupada says, in our enemy. Just like in a drunken state, the mind is compared to me in a drunken state, that when he comes and associates with a material object, it comes in a drunken state. Everybody has seen what a drunkard does. Is there any logic to his activities? No. Do you think he can think sanely? No. So similarly, when the mind is attracted towards the materialistic objects, or it runs after its ever-increasing desires and tries to fulfill them, tries to endeavor, that's what is happening in nowadays. So many of choices are available. Actually, so many choices are given to students, then he should be actually be able to take what is the right thing for him, right? But the problem is that the mind wants to get the best. Mind wants to get the best, but it doesn't know how to get it, because the mind is not clear. When your goals in life, when your consciousness of life is clear, then you can think clear. So without clarification of mind, without clarity of mind, when many people or students are given choices, what happens? They end up in confusion. So that's why controlling mind is very, very important. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us what happens to the living entity who forgets the lotus feet of Krishna and runs behind his desires. And Krishna bhuli se jiva anadi bahir mukha ataeva maya tare de samsara di dukha. Not only he is telling how the living entity forgets Krishna, or how the mind forgets Krishna, but what happens after that? Saying, forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the Lord's external energy, Maya, from time immemorial. Since time immemorial, the mind has been taking wrong choices again and again and again, because of which he has been under the purview or under the jurisdiction of the external energy, the Maya Shakti, the Durga Shakti of the Lord. Thus, therefore, the illusory energy gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. That's why, what is the problem with the mental imbalance? The problem with the mental imbalance is The result is just frustration, anxiety, and deep sense of dissatisfaction. Although he is a spirit soul, part and parcel, enjoying with Supreme Lord, but when he chooses to forget the Lord, what happens? As soon as the mind is contaminated, he rebels. Just like a child rebels, you know. No, I want this. I want that. Similar mind says, no. Why should I listen to God? Who is God? Why should I listen to Him? I want to be God. I want to do as I want, when I want, how I want. The mind becomes like a stubborn child. He tries to use his little independence that is given to him. The living entity has only one possession with him, and that is his little independence. We are not like robots. You know, it's not that Krishna has created us and we are like robots and moving just as, you know, whatever he says. We have something called as supreme independence or little independence, where we decide something. Just like you have decided to come to today's evening and listen to this discourse rather than going and watching some film or sitting in front of the idiot box. It is your choice, right? So similarly, the mind chooses to rebel against Krishna. And what happens? Ultimately, the idea is dictated from the mind. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Chalita Vishaka Shri Gopal Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Panch Tattva Ki Jai. So what happens? Once the mind is spoiled, once the mind is contaminated, he cannot make clear decisions. And finally, he comes under a false impression, just like a drunkard. Normally, a person is normal. But he comes under a illusion that, no, I am something. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great acharyas, prays to the Lord, saying that Gopinath, the Lord Gopinath, is saying, oh Gopinath, manaye pagala mora. He's saying that my mind is crazy. Manaye pagala mora. Namane shasana sada achetana. He doesn't want authority. He just wants to do everything whimsically. Vishayareche ghora. He's saying that he's deeply absorbed or he's immersed in the materialistic thoughts. So that is the condition of mind. When he turns from Krishna, he has to take dictations from his own mind. Srila Prabhupada, in the second, the verse number 6 in the purport, he has explained us, saying that how a living entity means me, you and everybody. So one, the living entity is always wanting to be the constitutional position. You know, the Prabhupada is emphatically saying that it is the constitutional position of a living entity to follow the Supreme. So if the mind is not controlled, what happens? The living entity has to follow the mind. And what does the mind naturally go towards? The mind naturally goes towards the 6 enemies that are lust, anger, pride, envy, illusion, and greed. But if the mind is controlled, so the Paramatma is sitting right beside the soul in the heart, gives the dictations. Okay, I think now we should go to the Hare Krishna temple. It's time. The Bhagavad Gita discourse is about to start. So actually, when we come here, we are actually listening to the dictations of Paramatma. Whenever you come for darshan, whenever you want to do a devotional act, it is an inspiration of the Paramatma from within. So this crazy mind, what does he want? He wants only material objects. He wants to conquer everything. He wants to be the maximizer. This term in the Western world, they use maximizer, not satisficer. No, he doesn't want to be satisfied. He just wants to maximize his happiness. There is something called as, we have a level. We can take this much only. It's like you can eat only 2-3 rasgullas, not more. Or if I give you 50, even if you like it best, how much can you eat? So even to our desires, we have that level. How much can we take? So similarly, we want to be maximizer. We want to maximize our comforts. But how much can we actually enjoy? So in that, what he goes on? Prabhupada says that he goes on conquering, conquering, conquering. He has conquered his school. He has conquered his university. He conquers a family. He conquers a company. And then finally, gets slowly into his deathbed again to start a sojourn of another conqueror in his next life. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that what is the use of conquering these empires if your mind is not conquered? We know of the great Alexander, right? Alexander conquered so many empires, one after another, one after another, one after another. But just as he conquered and he went to next, he forgot about the past one. What is the use of such? The rolling stone gathers no moss. He went on conquering more and more kingdoms, but there was no use to his winning. So at the end of the life, he realized that his futile effort to just conquer the empires and rather conquer his self frustrated him. He said, "My God, what did I do?" So he told his ministers that as I die, you know, please put everybody in the coffin, their hands are folded close to their body. He said, "Put my hands like this," showing that, you know, I came empty, I have gone empty. So many kingdoms, so many, you know, rulings I have done, but there is no use of it. No use of so many wars. But ultimately, and he said that also, write on it. Because people were, you know, he was known as Alexander the Great. He said, please write, Alexander the Great Fool. That is the state of mind. Just mind wants to, the mind wants to conquer others. Wants to conquer material assets. But until unless the person himself conquers the mind, he cannot live a steady life. An important point here is that we have to do it ourselves. If you want to be a yogi, Krishna is saying, Uddharet Atman Atmanam. Atma, Atma. Now you'll say there are two Atmas. According to the Niruktu dictionary, Atma means mind, body and soul. And because we are talking about the Ashtanga Yoga here, in Ashtanga Yoga, the mind is the very chief component. So because of that, Uddharet means delivering. Uddhar karna. Uddharet Atman Atmanam. Deliver yourself, deliver your soul, deliver the conditioned living entity by Atma. By the mind, you deliver yourself. Natmanam avasadet. Don't degrade your mind. One is upgradation and one is degradation. Just like in our, if you have any software, there are always upgrades. You never find a button where you degrade yourself. Even the material world, people follow that. They always upgrade themselves. So Krishna was saying, always upgrade your mind. Always deliver your mind. Deliver yourself with the help of the mind. Don't degrade yourself. Atmahi Atmano Bandhur is saying, Atma, that is mind, is definitely your friend and is your enemy also. Srila Prabhupada mentions in a beautiful verse from the Chanakya Niti. Everybody knows Chanakya here, the great Chanakya Pandit. He has written some instructions, and that he writes that na kashyachit kashyachin mitram, na kashyachit kashyachit ripuhu, vyavahare na jayante mitrani ripavastatha. Nobody is nobody's friend, and nobody is nobody's enemy. Only by behavior one becomes one's friend or enemy, right? If I tell you, if I ask you one question that, you know, how many of past heroes do you know? You'll say, okay, you know, if I give you, like, you know, some Tell me how many Wimbledon players do you know? From 1950 to 1960. You'll have to scratch your brain a little bit. If somebody is a sports maniac here, he might know also. Okay, I know this. If I tell you, can you tell me what is, oh no, the different award winners in so many years? Some might know, some might not know. So this becomes the achievements part. But if I tell you, who is your best, can you tell me the five names of your best friends? Suddenly you'll say, okay, yeah, it's easy. You know, you'll give some names. And if I say, can you tell me, or don't tell me, but, you know, just think about your five enemies or your five people who think are really, you know, against you. You have that. So now, when they were born, did they come like that? You know, I'm going to be your enemy. Was it written that unke na sar pe likha tha, main iska shatru hoon aur main iska mitra hoon? No. By their behavior, they have become your enemy, or by their behavior, they have become your friend. Somebody who is affectionate to you, somebody who takes your care, somebody who helps you, becomes your friend. And somebody who tries to put obstacle to you, somebody who tries to degrade you, becomes your enemy. Right? So Srila Prabhupada is stressing this point that mind, if he is trained properly, he'll behave in such a way that he'll be your friend. And he'll behave in such a way, if he's not trained, that he'll be your enemy. So what is important is not mind, but the training to the mind. One has to train the mind. That, oh, suno, meri suno, please listen to me. Do this, do that. Do we ever do that? Many times, we have to be introspective whether the activity I am doing. So many times you have come here in the temple, you have stood in front of the deities, you have seen the deities. So then the question comes, oh, there is something called as Krishna, something called as Gopinath. The mind churns that time. So we have to think like that, we have to train like that. The mind, which is untrained, what ultimately happens is he's frustrated with the material efforts. Goes here, goes there, goes everywhere to fulfill his desires, but to his vain that nothing is fulfilled. And what ultimately happens is, some people then come, okay, chalo, nothing is fulfilled, let me come to Krishna. But Krishna is so clever. Lord Krishna, when somebody asks for materialistic desire out of dictation of his mind, so Lord Krishna is saying, this is the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where saying that, very beautiful, we see the compassion of the Lord here. He says, Krishna kahe ama bhaje, mage vishaya sukha. He's saying, oh, you've come to me. The Lord is saying, you know, he says, please, please, get me this, get me that. You know, we have asked a materialistic desire to the Lord. He says, get me this, get me that. Krishna kahe, ama bhaje, mage vishaya sukha. Vishaya. Vishaya means materialistic. Sukh. The Lord says, amrit chhadi vish mage, ei bada murkh. Oh, how foolish he is. Leaving the ambrosial nectar, he is asking for hot boiling poison. Ami vigya. The Lord is saying, I am intelligent. Ei murkha, vishaya kena deba. He is saying, how can I let my dear part and parcel drink the poison? So what does the Lord do? The Lord says, swa charanamrita diya vishaya bhulaiba. He's saying that I bestow upon him the amrita from my lotus feet. I bestow upon him the mercy. So when somebody comes in front of the Lord and asks for material benedictions, the Lord says that, okay, I'll fulfill it in such a way that you will not come for the next one. So this is the best policy, to train the mind that, okay, if you want something, ask from him. Don't go to some Baba, Taba, Amma. No, we have to go to Krishna. Whatever you want, come here and ask to Krishna. Nobody else. Because asking to Krishna will ultimately help us in fulfilling the Lord's plan. Because the Lord has planned this material world in such a way that whatever you do, there will be only frustration. The ultimate goal, ultimate shelter is going to be the lotus feet of the Lord. We also have the example of kings who, after controlling their mind, have shown such amazing attributes. King Ambarish, I think Gopinachandra Prabhu just mentioned about the story 2-3 days back, where King Ambarish was such a perfect devotee that he had fixed his mind in Krishna, always remembering Krishna, so much so that the great yogi Durvas Muni could not budge him an inch, could not hurt him, although he was deeply esteemed in the process of Ashtanga Yoga. If you read Srila Prabhupada's purports, there is a particular style in which he writes. Because now, the process of Ashtanga Yoga is beginning in the 6th chapter. So, Prabhupada is mentioning about the mind control in the whole purport. But the end, he is writing a small token line, saying that a Krishna conscious devotee, if he follows the processes of chanting, remembering, serving the Lord, partaking in his prasadam, then automatically his mind is controlled. He's saying, now here Ambarish Maharaj has shown us by his practical example. What was he? He was a simple king, following the regulative principles and running the kingdom, you know, with proper administration. But what happened? Durvas Muni, who was a great mystic yogi, who by the yoga process which Krishna is going to speak now in 6th chapter, who advanced in that yoga and became a perfect yogi. But that yogi was superseded by the power of a bhakta, that is Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was attacked by Durvas Muni, but still Ambarish Maharaj was protected by the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra. So much so that he had to run for his life and kept running from one place to another. Even he went to Lord Vishnu asking for protection. But the Lord said, as you offended my devotee, I can't do anything. You have to ask forgiveness from him. So ultimately, that mystic yogi had to come to the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj and take and beg forgiveness, because of which he was forgiven. So if somebody controls his mind and tries to become a yogi, the shortcut is that you become a Krishna conscious devotee and your mind is automatically controlled. Now, how does the mind get automatically controlled? What is the problem with the mind? As we discussed earlier, the mind is attracted to material sense objects. Right? There is attraction towards material sense objects. And the purpose of the yoga is to detach oneself from the process of this attachment. But what beauty of Krishna consciousness is that it provides you with a positive attraction towards Krishna. The purpose for yoga is to detach from materialistic sense objects. So here in Krishna consciousness, more than stressing on the negative point, what we stress is the positive point. Okay. Positively you engage in the processes of devotional service, chant nicely, dance nicely, eat nicely, serve the Lord nicely. And automatically, because your attraction increases, so automatically the detachment from the material sense objects happens. A very simple example of a child carrying a toffee. If a child is carrying a toffee, what does he do? He is eating the toffee, he likes the toffee. But if a mother wants to remove the toffee from the hand, she sits in front of the child and says, "This is going to spoil your teeth. This is not bad. It is made up of bad jaggery. It is made up of bad substances. Don't eat it. Don't eat it." Is the child going to listen? No. The child is all the more going to pop it more in the mouth. Because the nature of the mind is like the child. Stubborn. So what does the intelligent mother do? It gives the child a higher taste. It gives the child a nice homemade ice cream. So as soon as the child sees the ice cream, drops the trophy. So similarly, the mind, which is engrossed in materialistic objects, if you want to detach the mind from them, it's simple as you have to give them the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Beautiful prasadam, beautiful darshans of the Lord, beautiful kirtan of the Lord, beautiful association of the Lord's devotees, of the devotees' shastras or the books written by Srila Prabhupada, and coming to temple. So many things. The whole process itself is geared up to give you positive attraction to Krishna, and as a byproduct, what happens? The mind itself is controlled. Many devotees, just as Srila Prabhupada is saying, that training of the mind is very important. You know, he's saying that training, you know, although the devotees don't care about so much mind control or do something separate for controlling their mind, but they do definitely pray to the mind. We have Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, has written his Manah Shiksha, where he gives us teachings after teachings, what the mind should be told, how it should be told. Because until unless you train the mind, how will it act? The mind is fearful. The mind wants to eat more. The mind wants to do all the wrong things. So you have to give him a good training. So although the Krishna conscious devotee does not have to do a separate endeavor to control his mind, however, the devotees definitely pray or strengthen their intelligence. They take shelter of the Lord, the holy name, the sadhu, and the shastra. King Kulashekhar, it gives solace to the mind. You know, because although we are devotees, we are in this material world, and we have some fears of this material world. So King Kulashekhar is telling to the mind, saying that, Ma bhirmanda mano vichinta bahudaya mischiram yatana naivami prabhavanti paparivaha swami nanu shridhara. He's saying that, oh my dear mind, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid of what the Yama will do to you? You know, yes, you have been sinful in past. Your mind has taken toll of you and you have done so many wrong activities. But why are you afraid of it? Don't be afraid of it. Don't you know who your master is? Your master is Sridhara. Alasya vapaniya bhakti sulabham dhyayasva narayanam. He's saying that, leave your laziness. Worship the beautiful Lord. Alasya vyapaniya bhakti sulabham. This easily available process of Krishna consciousness, take to it. Dhyayasva narayanam. Worship Lord Narayana. And what will happen? Lokasya vasanapana dhanakaro dasasya kim nakshama. He's saying that the Lord is fulfilling each and everybody's desire in this material world. He's providing them so much. Don't you think so? He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. Why are you so unnecessarily worried? You know, Radha Gopinath Prabhu always say this. He's saying that an elephant eats in tons, and the ant eats in, you know, milligrams. But who provides them? The Lord. Hathi ko man bhar deta hai, chiti ko kan bhar deta hai. Wo vidatha sab ki sudhi leta hai. So the Lord is so protective. Why, oh mind, why are you so fearful? And then there are so many different fears that the mind has. One more beautiful point that Kulashekhar Maharaj says is, he says that you are fearful, you are going through so many circumstances. Okay, I'll tell you how Lord Krishna's medicine or Lord Krishna's name, which is the best medicine, will act on you. व्यामोहं प्रशमौषधं मुनिमनोवृत्ति प्रवृत्तौषधं दैत्रेन्द्रार्तिकरौषधं त्रिभुवने संजीवने कौषधं. ओ माइंड, प्लीज ड्रिंक. इट इज द परफेक्ट मेडिसिन फॉर क्यूरिंग द डिजीज ऑफ बिविल्डरमेंट. व्यामोह, यू आर अंडर बिविल्डरमेंट, ड्रिंक दिस. Munimano Vritti Pravittaushadham, for inspiring sages to engage their minds in meditation. Daitrin Dartikaroshadham, for tormenting the mighty of Daitya demons. It is alone the medicine. When the demons are attacking you, take shelter of the name. Tribhuvane Sanjeevane Kaushadham, the only life-giving thing, the holy names. Bhaktya Tantahitaushadham, for all the devotees, the one which bestows unlimited blessings of the Supreme Lord, is this. Bhavabhaya Pradhvamsanayakaushadam is a medicine to destroy one's fear of material existence. And Shreyaha Praptikaraushadam Tribhuvane Pibhamanaha Sri Krishna Divyaushadam. He is saying that at the end, if you want Shreyaha, if you want ultimate perfection, this can only bestow you. My dear mind, please, please, please drink the beautiful nectar of the beautiful names of Lord Krishna. Once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that my mind is troubling me so much. I can't chant. Mind is always... So Prabhupada said, where does the mind come in picture in chanting? He said that while chanting, just hear. You don't have to separately try to control your mind. Just chant and hear. If you hear attentively, your mind will be controlled. His spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what he used to say, that mind is such a rascal, he's such a wild animal who has to be tamed. You know, if you keep a wild animal in a prison house, you don't know what he'll do when. So you have to be always alert. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is saying that every morning when you get up, you hit your mind with the broom. And every night when you sleep, you slap your mind with the shoe. Exactly, it doesn't mean literally. What exactly mean is, you have to train the mind. When you get up, chanting the holy names of the Lord is the best training to the mind. When you sleep, reading about the different pastimes of the Lord from the Krishna book of Srila Prabhupada, which is gave to us, is again training to the mind that, okay, calm down. You have been running around like a disc all the whole day. Now just calm down. It's time to take rest. Don't think much. Preparing for the next day with full energy. Tukaram Maharaj also, all the saints or all the different acharyas have given so much content on how one should, you know, dictate or give instructions to his mind. Tukaram Maharaj says, Majha mana lago tsala pahavaya vithala dola. He's saying that, let my mind get that habit. What habit? Pahavaya vithala dola. Let me see the beautiful form of the Lord always. Let that be my habit. Anika nahi chada nalage samsara hagoda. He's saying that I don't want anything else now, because I'm frustrated. The mind has done enough bad is done by the mind. A lot of repairing has to be done. World, I don't have any other interest in loving this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says in his bhajan, saying that, you know, Ore man, bhalo nahi lage samsar. This world is not good. The only shelter that one can take is the shelter of Lord Krishna's holy name, his sadhus, which by their sharp words help us to detach our mind from the sense objects, and their shastras who help us to strengthify our intelligence. So finally, the choice is with us. The supreme independence or the supreme independence with the Lord, but our little independence is with us. The choice is ours. That should we let our mind run here and there and spoil our life, or chant the holy names of the Lord and train it so that we can become a perfect devotee by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions? The mic is coming. No, I can say like that.
Hare
Krishna. Yes, yes.
Yeah, Prabhuji, this is relevant to the lecture that you have just given. Now, when we talk about mind, we start the chanting process. You said there are two things. Once you adhere to what your mind says, the other thing is you just basically slap your mind and you start chanting and you adhere to the principles that you've been given from acharyas and devotees of Krishna. Now, once we start chanting, we try to follow the process, but it has gone so much to the core. We have done so much wrong things. We have done so many sins, and that is the reason why we have come to this material world. And even after coming here, till the time we have entered Krishna consciousness, we have been doing all sort of wrong things. Now, when we start chanting, our mind flickers all the possible ways. So we know this is something ideally, something is wrong basically, which a Krishna conscious devotee is not supposed to do. A very subtlest of thing, I'm not talking about the biggest sin, but when we talk about the principles which are given to understand, the principle of Krishna conscious devotee does not allow you to do such a thing, but still your mind, basically dominates, and then you are made to do such a thing. So what would that be, an offense to a devotee basically, if you are following the principle, you are chanting, you're not eating meat, and the four principles that you've got, still your mind bothers you, and ultimately you tend to do what your mind says. So what do we do at that point of time? Is that an offense by a devotee?
Generally, a devotee is told to avoid these four sins basically. But if because of some reason he again gets back to that, Krishna is very merciful, because we are under the great auspices of His Divine Grace Abhay Charanamrita Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. What you can do is take the lesson, go forward, and not repeat the mistake. First thing is, don't repeat the mistake. And second thing is, you take instructions or specific instructions of how I should not do. Because there are some things which lead to these sins. These don't come up like that. Just like your response, anything you do, it comes because of a stimuli, right? Something happens. You start itching because the itch comes, right? So how does the itch come itself? How do you stop it then and there? That will come when you'll, discuss in person. There's a particular problem that, bothers your mind. But anyways, the best thing is to chant the holy name of the Lord and continue doing it and waiting for the mercy of the Lord, that once the Lord will give you the strength to not again do it. But don't take it so much in your mind that whole day you are bothered with it. You've understood it, that you have done wrong. Fine, take the lesson, go ahead. Continue your devotional activities. Never stop your devotional activities. That okay, I have done this, so I am not qualified to perform devotional service. That is a trick of the mind. There is never a position where anybody cannot perform devotional service. Whatever you do, you can perform devotional service. That is the beauty of devotional service. That from any level, you can perform devotional service. Okay? Thank you.
Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. I wanted to ask Swamiji, when we, there is consciousness and there is conscientiousness. When we talk about conscience, we have a lot of analysis, a lot of introspective, and then there is a lot of questioning within which goes on. So when we talk about controlling, and even the Arjuna at Kurukshetra had so many questions, so many queries, and he could not be until he was answered, he was satisfied by the Lord. And the same thing goes on when there is a lot of pain, and when we go into the introspective understanding, analysis and questioning, self-realization, and lot more to do with, there is a lot of internal turmoil.
Yes.
And when we seek to control all that, but then the peace lies only in knowing the answer. Why? So how can we... unless and until we don't achieve the answer, when we don't realize why, until that, how can we get the peace?
See, spiritual living entity. Living entity is basically spiritual. What has happened is, it is looking for happiness in the material world, in the material objects. A spiritual entity looking happiness in the material world is an incompatible situation. It's like oil and water. How much ever you mix the oil in water, the oil separates and the water separates. So similarly, what has happened is, you are looking for happiness in this material world, in the materialistic objects, which is not going to give you happiness. The nature of the living entity is to be happy, to be all knowledgeable, sat, chit and ananda. To be all knowing, to be eternal. So we have that propensity to be blissful, to be peaceful, to be happy, to be all-knowing. So when these turmoils come, you have to ask question, and that is the beginning of your spiritual life. Athato brahma jigyasa. Now, I will inquire. And if somebody actually gets the answer, and he will get if he is a sincere seeker. Srimad Bhagavad Gita is like a manual for the living entity. Just like you buy a Nokia mobile, you get a manual for that. Until unless you read the manual, the body, the cell will not work. By doing your R&D, it might work after months. But if you read the manual, you can use it easily. So similarly, this life, which is given to us, Bhagavad Gita is the manual. If you follow, if you read whatever is given here, all your questions will be answered. And you'll realize why do I have these questions? Because eternally I am a spiritual part and parcel of the Lord. It's a symbol or it's a symptom that I'm not happy here. I need something. Right? Any small symptom, any small indication that yes, this shows that I am not happy here. Because I have these questions. Many people have inherent questions, which they don't get answered very easily. But when they sincerely seek the shelter of Lord Krishna, they get the answers. Many of the devotees have come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement asking so many questions, so many deep questions. Why am I suffering? Why this? Why that? So that could be, that you can take as, you know, the indication or the, just as Prabhupada says here, the dictation of the Paramatma. From the inside, you know, go, ask question, you know, seek answers. And when you read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that will be the perfection of your questions, basically. To read it and get your answer and fulfill your life's mission, basically.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Hare Krishna. All the devotees are requested to please be seated, because we'll start.